G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 221, brought to you by our Patreon members community. And a huge shout out to all our members of the Patreon community, and a very warm welcome to our many new members. Thank you for supporting the Patreon, and thank you for everything that you do with inside the Patreon community. Our Zoom meetings have become very popular that we hold twice a month, both in the Northern and Southern Hemisphere. It's a great way for fasters to come together face-to-face, get to know each other, share stories about their intermittent fasting. They're hosted by myself. You can come in there and ask questions. We also have a monthly meeting for those that want to break free from sugar, where we help people and support them on that journey. But there's many other bonus episodes in the Patreon community, as well as many podcasts, audio series, bonus content discussion, and much, much more. So you can see how to join the Patreon members community there in the show notes at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. So come and join us and supercharge your intermittent fasting lifestyle. Okay, folks, let's get on with today's podcast. Absolutely delighted to have Jin Stevens back, who needs no introduction. Jin's a good friend of mine. Jin's a best-selling author, of course. And Jin's here today to talk about all things intermittent fasting, as well as her new book, which came out earlier in the year, The 28-Day Fast Start. So we'll talk about that. But we're also going to bust down a few myths that are often bandied around about the intermittent fasting lifestyle. So looking forward to getting stuck into that with Jin. So here she is, the incredible Jin Stevens. Oh, g'day, Jin, and welcome back to the Fasting Highway. And how are you going there?
I'm doing great, and it is wonderful to talk to you today, Graham.
Great to see you as always, Jin, and we haven't spoken for a while. And for those listening out there that may not know, Jin's been on the Fasting Highway podcast twice before, in episode 8 and 106, well, some time ago now, over 100 episodes. And I myself was on Jin's podcast way back in episode 23 and also in 206. And so, yeah, when you say those numbers and where we are now, Jin, it seems a long time ago.
It really does. We've been connected for a lot of years now, Graham.
Yeah, we have. And it's been fantastic. And we've become good friends through this community. And we both have a similar ethos and align ourselves with similar things when it comes to fasting. So I think that's why we've got on so well. But Jin, we're here today to talk about you and let people know what you've been up to. So I guess the first thing we're going to do is catch up with what you actually have been doing in sort of the last few months or over the last year.
Well, this has been the year of a new book. And so it's quite a process when you're publishing a book with a traditional publisher. So 1 year ago, I was writing it and it came out in December 26th of 2023. And since then, we've been working through the book launch and supporting people through their first 28 days as they work through 28-day fast start day by day. And so that's really been what I've been doing. Other than that, just the podcasting. Oh, I did start another podcast in there too. 2023 was a year of creating new things. My friend Sherry, who you had on with me when we had our Life Lessons podcast, you know, we're such a great team. We met through the intermittent fasting world, and she became a moderator in my community. And then she wanted to start a podcast in 2020. And I said, hey, what if I co-host with you? And that's how we started the Life Lessons podcast, which we really enjoyed doing for over 2 years. But then, it had a nice audience. We enjoyed doing it. But people kept asking us to do a fasting podcast. And so we just finally said, people are asking for it. Let's just do it. So we folded the Life Lessons podcast and started the Fast, Feast, Repeat, Intermittent Fasting for Life podcast in July of 2023. So that's been going really well. And we have recorded 34 episodes so far as of today. And people are really enjoying that podcast. So, you know, my life's mission is to teach people to create an intermittent fasting lifestyle that works for them long term. And I know that's yours as well, Graham. And all of the things that I'm doing, and I know all the things that you're doing are designed to facilitate that for people, right? You're helping people create an intermittent fasting lifestyle that they can enjoy, that feels like a lifestyle, that feels like freedom. And so that's just really my personal mission in life.
Yeah, I think it goes from, when you went through your own personal journey, you lost the 80 pounds, and I went through my weight loss phase, I lost my weight. And then you sort of get to that point where you're in maintenance and, you're looking for how you're going to live this lifestyle forever and a day. But there's also a burning passion to shout this lifestyle from the rooftops as well. And when you really know the secrets of it, and you know that you can help other people with your own story, as you did with the weight loss phase that you had, then it really becomes empowering. And once you sort of put yourself out there a bit, and obviously through podcasts and books, and for me, it was about, I can't go to the shopping center and say to an obese person, hey, I can help you, but I can put a book or a podcast out that they might just listen to. Is that the way you sort of felt about it at the very beginning when you wrote Delay, Don't Deny, that you just wanted to share this?
Absolutely. And it started for me, as you know, with running a Facebook group. That was my
Yeah.
very first thing that I did. Just me, Jen, the person who had just lost, at that point, I'd lost 75 pounds. And I started my first Facebook group in 2015, really just as a place. You know how Facebook can be crazy and toxic in many ways. So I just wanted to start a place that was a safe place where we could get together. Like my classroom, felt like a safe place for kids. I wanted a Facebook group that felt like a safe place for intermittent fasters. And that just was me wanting to have a place for me and for my friends. And then funny thing happened, Graham, people just started coming in like you from all around
Yeah.
the world. And it turns out everybody was looking for a safe place where they could talk about their struggles and connect with other people going through the same thing. So I really think, what I've learned, whether you're in a third grade classroom or an intermittent faster, you want to be around people who support you, who care about you, who understand what you're going through. And you also want a place where you can be yourself. So that's just my teacher work, but at a larger scale now.
Let's get on to your book, Jen. I mean, you've written
Okay.
a series of books now. Let's talk about that. Obviously, your first book, Delay, Don't Deny, I think came out around 2016, something like that. Delay, Don't
Very
Deny.
end of 2016, the
Yeah.
Kindle version dropped it on December 31st, and I think the paperback dropped on January 1st. So straddling that New Year's 2016 to 2017.
Yeah, so you're a bit like me at that phase. You just hit the publish button on Amazon and away you went, not knowing what was going to happen. And you transformed so many lives through that book, Jen, because back then there wasn't really a lot of books about intermittent
No.
fasting. And you really put it out there and put it on a map, so to speak, with Delay, Don't Deny. But you've written a lot of other great books too, some of them maybe not as well known. But one of my favorite books of yours was, not Fast, Feast, Repeat. What was the one you wrote
Feast
after
Without
Delay?
Fear.
Peace Without Fear.
Feast, yeah.
Yeah, I
Feast
really love
Without Fear.
that
That
one.
was my second self-published book. I wrote that in 2017 in the summer.
Yeah, I love that because the stuff you did about the gut microbiome and things like that you talked about in that, it was really interesting, I felt. And that's one of my favorite books of yours. So roll the clock forward, and obviously Fast, Feast, Repeat, huge hit, New York Times bestseller. Here's Jen Stevens, ex-school teacher from Georgia, writing a New York Times bestseller. And you would have never have dreamed that in a million years, right? When you're at the school being a
Never,
teacher. And then, oh, here you
never.
are. And then now you've just put out the 28-day fast start. So let's just talk about, firstly, what is the 28-day fast start book about, and what's it designed to do?
Well, it's a book I couldn't have written earlier, and it came about because, let me backtrack a little bit. When I wrote Fast, Feast, Repeat, and it did so well, Obviously, when you have a success like that, publishers get really excited and then they want you to write more books. So my publisher, my editor said, "What is your next intermittent fasting book going to be?" And I said, "I'm not writing any more intermittent fasting books. Fast, Feast, Repeat is comprehensive. It's got everything. I don't need to write anymore. This is everything. I didn't hold anything back for people that, I'm not going to come up with a new spin. This is it. This is everything." And so even so, they offered me a two book deal, which meant I had to write two more books for them. And I'm a writer. I really enjoy writing. And that's when I wrote Cleanish, book number one. And then for book number two, we were really struggling with what that was going to be. I was half-heartedly thinking about doing something based on intermittent fasting stories. It would be just a book of success stories. But that started to get tricky because I wanted to have obviously photos before and after. And then there were like all these rules about photos and what it could have and printing things. And I was like, well, no one wants a book that doesn't have photos if it's before and afters and all of that. And so it just didn't feel right. And then in the meantime, I'm just, managing my community and seeing where people are struggling. And what I realized is people need a little bit more. I don't know if handholding is the right word for it. They need a little bit more support, a little bit more just day-by-day support when they're starting and trying to develop intermittent fasting as a habit. I also saw a lot of people who were caught in a cycle of starting over, starting over, starting over. And I thought, what is keeping people from having the mindset that they're starting this as a lifestyle and then it's just going to continue? Because if you're starting over all the time, you're caught in the hardest part over and over again. And so I realized what people were challenged with, and I also realized over the time that this was all going on that fast, feast, repeat was a little intimidating for some new fasters, because it is so comprehensive. It's got so much information. If you start at the beginning and go all the way through, it's almost too much information at first. It's a great resource. You can go back to it as you get new questions, use it as a reference material. Definitely read it at the beginning, but then go back to it, like I'm saying. But the people who found Fast, Feast, Repeat just to be too much at first, they needed a little something different to help them get started. And that is when I had the idea for 28-day fast start day by day. And so it kind of, morphed into pulling in the success stories in the daily format. Every day revisit a past intermittent fasting stories guest like you, Graham, you're in the new book. And along with, how that person has been going along since the episode, people can then go back and listen to that episode. And then also advice from that past intermittent fasting stories guest. But I also pulled in everything I know as a school teacher. So, I was a teacher for 28 years and I understand, curriculum design and how powerful journaling can be and self-reflection and being empowered as a student or a learner or when you're trying to learn how to do something new, and intermittent fasting is very much like that. So I really put on my teacher hat when I wrote it. And, I really thought long and hard about the structure of each daily lesson that people would need. And it's been so gratifying seeing people go through it in my community. People have said over and over again, like, oh my gosh, did you read my mind? I was struggling with something. And then I looked on day six and there it was. And it's like, yeah, it's because I have had so much experience seeing where people struggle during the adjustment period. And so this book is designed to get you through it with realistic expectations of the good and the bad of the adjustment period. What's going to be nice about it? What's going to be a struggle? Everything from when other people are eating and you're not, or when you're feeling lethargic because your body's not adapted yet, or what if you have that little brief can't sleep period that we have during the adjustment period? So it's all in there. What should you be eating? What can you eat? What should you maybe not do? And so it's really, like I said, I could not have written this book years ago because I didn't have the experience that I have now, really helping people craft their own intermittent fasting lifestyle. And I really mean it that I want every person to understand that they are a study of one and they are empowered to figure out what tools they need in their journey. Your journey, Graham, is not exactly like mine. We have commonalities. All intermittent fasters have things in common with our struggles and our past history, but we all have, unique emotional needs, unique physical needs, unique lifestyles, and just realizing that the tools are there and you have permission to figure out what works best for you.
100%. And just talking about that book, what I got from it was that it brings structure and it also complements Fast Fish Repeat in terms of you have so much comprehensive information in Fast Fish Repeat that when you go through the 28-day fast start, you're able to take notes and about the way you feel and about each day. And as you say, you can give them information because you have such good experience as I do now. And you know what happens in the initial stages. And we hear it over and over again from people that are just beginning with intermittent fasting. They're not knowing what's happening to them. They're not knowing how they feel. They're going, wow, what's going on here? But when they've got some structure and they can see that day to day on the pages of that book, I think it's really great, Jin. And I think it's a great compliment to Fast Fish Repeat. And I would really recommend that people have Fast Fish Repeat to get it. In particular, if they feel like they do sort of want to revert or they're starting to struggle, because we have a lot of fasters in our community that do that. I mean, you know yourself, Jin, being in communities for so long now, you'll see people that will post regularly and often, right? Now post pictures, now post about the joy of IF, then all of a sudden they disappear. And quite often in my community, I will contact those people because, you know, and I'll say, are you okay? And quite often something's happened that's thrown a curveball in their life. It could have been a death in the family. They've had some sort of tragic event, or simply that they've just had this big reversion. They've regained a lot of weight and they're sort of being too embarrassed to come on and talk about it. And so I think when you've got something that can give you structure and keep you on track in those moments, it's very handy. So well done on that. But you know, Jin, you obviously got a new podcast out too that you're doing with Sherry, and my regards to Sherry there. You two are a dynamic duo and you're great fun to listen to. But, you know, I don't know how you do it and how you get a spare minute of the day. So just for people that might sort of want to get a picture, just tell us about your typical working day, because I know you're an early riser and you're working till late in the evening, right?
Well, I am. And, you know, as you know, I was an elementary teacher, and so I can work as hard as I am right now at what I'm doing, and it feels like I'm on vacation every day compared to being in the elementary classroom. Like, I can go to the bathroom anytime I want to, and I can put on jeans anytime I want to. That might sound silly, but like when you're an elementary teacher, you cannot just go to the bathroom when you need to, and you must be dressed in a certain way. So it doesn't feel like hard work to me. It feels like a joy, everything that I'm doing. I'm loving it. So, and I loved teaching as well, don't get me wrong, but it's very much like you must be in the lunchroom at this time and you must be here clocking in at this time and, you know, faculty meeting till 5:30. So anyway, I love what I'm doing. But yeah, you know, I wake up naturally. I don't need an alarm clock. I wake up before the sun rises. And, you know, depending on what time, season of the year with the time change, but right now we're in February. So this is not my favorite time change part of the year, but I wake up sometime between 5 and 5:30, just naturally. Can't help it. That's when I wake up. And, you know, the first thing I do is brew my black coffee, and then I sit and catch up in my community. And I love doing that. You know, I see what went on overnight, you know, and start the day. Once I'm caught up with that, I'm drinking my coffee, and then it just depends. You know, I have different schedules, different days of the week. We're recording on a Monday, and on Monday, I sometimes record with people like you on their podcast, but it's like a big work day of emailing and things like that and loose ends and I don't know, all the business side of things, Graham, that, you know, like that's not my most favorite part. But Monday I get a lot done. I upload podcast episodes and then I record on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I record one intermittent fasting stories interview. And also every Wednesday, Sherry and I record together. So I record two episodes on Wednesdays. And then Friday is a day that's more flexible for me. Right now I'm going to Pilates on Friday, which I'm loving, doing reformer Pilates. And, you know, just any loose ends with business. Sometimes I'll record a podcast on that day with a guest on their show, that sort of thing. But, you know, then Saturday and Sunday, the community never closes. You know that about having your own community. The community is 24/7. That doesn't mean I have to be on there 24/7, because as you know, when you have a community that knows you and they know your, you know, your, what you expect out of a community and how you expect members to treat one another, you know, they don't need quite as much, you know, every second from you. They can, the community can really run itself. And then you come in and you check on it. And you know, when you have really well-educated members like you and I do, the members support one another. And that's really what it's all about. You know, there's like a Maria Montessori quote. She was a early childhood expert. You know, Montessori schools, most people have heard of that. But, you know, she taught young children to be empowered in the in their choices and in their learning. And so the quote is something like, you know, the mark of a good teacher is when the children are doing what they're supposed to do as if you don't exist, right? And so I just paraphrased that. But I think about the same thing in our communities. You know, if I were to disappear off the face of the earth, you know, go, you know, lost my internet for a week, would my community still be able to run itself? Yes, because there's that they can run it. They know what they're doing. They're so well educated themselves. The members help each other. And that's what I love the most. You know, waking up in the morning and seeing all the posts that happened overnight and the comments and, you know, seeing that the members have supported one another more thoroughly than even I might would have or could have. And that's what really feels good, you know, because it's like paying it forward and multiplying the message, if that makes sense.
It does. And I know for my community, I simply couldn't do it without great moderators.
Oh, no. We moved off of Facebook in 2021. And, you know, that was a time when, you know, everybody remembers what was going on in the world at that time. You know, there were stories of people who were running various groups with different, you know, whatever it could be about. And I don't really know because I haven't been running Facebook groups since then. But people would, like, I remember somebody had a friend who ran a cooking group. It was a cooking group or something. She woke up one morning and her whole group had been shut down and she had been blocked from Facebook from something that went on overnight. And so that's the thing. Like, things would happen when I had my very large Facebook groups. We had almost 500,000 combined members. And I would wake up in the morning and something had happened overnight that was dramatic and someone was really mad and upset. And I wasn't even awake or knowing what was happening. And then, of course, they're blaming me. And it was just, it was that kind of drama was really a challenge. And then, you know, one worrying about Facebook itself, like you mentioned the word fat. Yeah, I remember one of our moderators in, it might've been the big group, the big Delay Don't Deny group, made a comment like, "Ooh, I didn't mean to click that, fat thumbs," talking about herself. Didn't mean to click that, fat thumbs. And because she was a moderator and said the word fat, it was bullying and it counted against the group because it was a moderator. And I'm like, what? So yeah. You know, there were just so many negatives to the Facebook groups. And I loved having Facebook groups. You know, don't get me wrong. I would not go back and change any part of my journey because it taught me a lot. And I love the connections I made in Facebook. I met you there. I met Donna. I met Sherry. I met Roxy. I met hundreds of thousands of amazing people. But, you know, if you have 500,000 people and a quarter of 1% of them are a problem, it's not very, you know, very small percentage, but it's enough to really, really make it hard.
That's a big problem.
So what we have found with having the community off of Facebook, yes, that is a barrier to a lot of people joining because some people are not going to pay to join anything, and that is fine. You know, there are free Facebook communities out there that you can join. It's a very small amount to join our community, and the people who are going to be that quarter of a percent that might have been a problem in your 500,000 Facebook community, they're not going to come over and join a paid community. So we do not have those problems. I never wake up worried about what's going to happen. Never. And
you don't get the trolls, Jen. You must have got sick
never,
of that. Because,
no, troll is not going to pay to join a private community. They are not going to do it. Mm. And so it's just been so joyful watching the members that have joined supporting one another. And they're there. It's not just all new people, but we have new people every day. But, you know, there are people who have been fasting for, you know, 5 years who are in there longer. And they are there because they want to support other intermittent fasters in a place where everyone believes in the clean fast. And everyone is there because they want to uplift one another. And so I have just loved having the off of Facebook community. And it's just, like I said, it's just been a joy. I've lost that feeling of, like every morning I would wake up when I had the large Facebook groups, like I would first check the moderator chat to see what red flags, what fires did I need to put out. And so I was spending all my time, instead of helping and supporting intermittent fasters, I was managing feelings and upset people. And you make someone really upset, and then the first thing they do is they go write a negative review about you on your book on Amazon because they didn't like what happened in the community. And it wasn't even me, it was a moderator, and while I was sleeping. And so I just, that was a stress I didn't need in my life. And so when I decided to leave Facebook, I said, this could be it for me. Maybe everybody's going to be so mad that I'm leaving Facebook. Nobody will ever listen to my podcast or buy my book again. And that was a chance I was willing to take because I couldn't run those groups anymore.
IF Resources, Jen, I often get this question, and we all know that you've got some wonderful books, right? But one of the questions I had sent in to my from my Patreon community was, can Jen sort of talk about any other resources or research that she may know of, or something new that's been coming up? I know way back you mentioned the 2019 New England Journal of Medicine study with Dr. Mark Mattson, which is fantastic. But is there anything else that's come up since then, Jen, or something you've been delving into, or any books that you can recommend for people?
Well, with the Mark Mattson 2019, it was a review article where he reviewed all the best research and data on intermittent fasting. And the thing about intermittent fasting books that can be so tricky is that, and this is actually why I wrote Delayed on Deny in the first place. Like, I remember people were asking what to read, and my friends who wanted to do intermittent fasting, I'd be like, well, you can read Dr. Bert Hering's Fast Five, but ignore the part where he talks about having diet sodas, and you can read The Obesity Code, but it's a great book, but it doesn't really tell you what to do. It was really just like I would have, like, well, you can read this, but this part is going to be problematic. Or like, you can read this book, but then she tells you can't eat any carbs. That's, not, don't follow that. So that's one reason why like I said, why I became a writer myself, because I wanted to put the best advice in there so that people could, like I said, create their own intermittent fasting lifestyle. Number one, the clean fast. So see, that's the thing. There is not another intermittent fasting book out there, not one that really, other than something I've written, that highlights the importance of the clean fast. So, every other book is going to have a little something in there about the fast that might be a little confusing. Or they might be trying to sell you a creatine supplement that you really don't want to have during fasting. Or they might tell you a little cream is okay, or have these herbal teas. And so when you start wandering down that path of listening to different voices, you can suddenly start to question, like, well, does the clean fast really matter? Because this person said it doesn't. So maybe I just will not fast clean. And I really think, Graham, and you've probably seen this as well, a lot of the people who struggle, it's when they start compromising their clean fast a little bit. Like, suddenly they're putting a little cream in there because they saw a YouTube video that said cream wouldn't really make that much of a difference. And then before they know it, they're not fasting anymore. And I've just seen people go down that slippery slope. So be very, very cautious with any other fasting book. If it's not, really promoting the clean fast, really go back and reread that section of Fast, Feast, Repeat so that you understand why we fast clean, because you're only, affecting yourself, and your fast is going to be harder, and you're going to miss out on some of the benefits. If you really want to dig into the science, this is the book I would read, and it's by Mark Mattson, who wrote that New England Journal of Medicine article. But it's The Intermittent Fasting Revolution, and it came out in February of 2022. And so that's really the best compilation of all the intermittent fasting research that had been done up to that point. I haven't seen a ton of new research that's like mind-blowing. There was something about intermittent fasting and diabetes, but we knew that already, having a positive impact. And part of the problem with anything that comes out with intermittent fasting is you and I both know, like, if they design a study with intermittent fasting and people do it for 4 weeks, are you getting all the metabolic adaptations and the benefits in 4 weeks? No. It takes a lot longer for your body to change. So a lot of the fasting studies are just too short. Tim Spector's group, Zoe, they did a big intermittent fasting study through their Zoe app, and they reported some positive results from that. I don't think it's been published yet. I don't think it's been in the journal, but it's going to be. They're actually going to have me back in March on their podcast to talk about intermittent fasting with them. But they're big believers in intermittent fasting as a health and wellness strategy and the health benefits. And so, yeah, there's just so many confusing statements you can find. Like a new book came out in 2023. I'm sure you had a lot of confused women who had read it. It was, about women and fasting, and it just made some claims that were, not what we've experienced. Let me just put it that way. And I have a lot of friends in the health and wellness community who are hormone experts, and they understand, like Dr. Tabitha Barber, who's an OBGYN functional medicine doctor. And, the whole idea that women need to fast differently 2 months out of the or 2 weeks out of the month and fast according to your cycle, that all of a sudden made people really confused. And you really don't have to do that. And, Tabitha came on Fast, Feast, Repeat podcast and explained why that is not true. Fasting is not going to mess with your hormones. What messes with your hormones is over-restriction. And that would be whether you're fasting or not. We don't want to over diet, over exercise as women or men. And so you need to have an intermittent fasting lifestyle where you're nourishing your body well and not overdoing it. So, all of that to be said, be cautious with who you listen to, because if you're doing well with the clean fast and you're doing well with what you're doing, and then you start listening to a voice who says something like, you must eat X number of grams of protein a day. And then you start going down that rabbit hole. And I'm not saying you should not eat protein, but I don't count any protein. And my body lets me know when I've had enough to eat. But I've seen people go down those rabbit holes and say, well, this person said I must eat this number of grams of protein. Then all of a sudden they're having a hard time and they're struggling and they're gaining weight. And it's because they're listening to someone outside of themselves who are making these rules about what you should and shouldn't do, or how you should eat, and all of that. So just be careful of getting into diet brain
Yeah, I think
with all
intermittent
the books.
fasting, in my opinion, since 2016, when you first came on the scene with Delay Don't Deny, has got overcomplicated. I was looking on Amazon the other day, and there's like all these crazy books about intermittent fasting now, and there's like about 1,000 intermittent fasting books for women over 50. And I'm going, wow, well, how many books on intermittent fasting for
Well, let
women
me
over
tell you
50?
why.
Yeah, and
You
they're
can
all like,
have AI write a book in 1 hour. And what people know is what people are searching for. They know, for one thing, women over 50, we have been through menopause. Most of us, the average age for going through menopause is 51, which is exactly when I went through it. And there are biological reasons why, once you've been through menopause, we start to store body or belly fat. And they had a beautiful explanation of why on the Zoe podcast they had a hormone expert on there that really explained it. It's not because, you're suddenly making worse food choices. It's your body. Your body is doing something different because your hormones are different. So women over 50 have always struggled with their weight. It's biological. And so these people writing these junk books, and again, AI is writing them now. AI, those junk books, people don't even have to write them anymore. AI writes them, and they are just putting books out based on what people are searching for. So if there's 500 books on intermittent fasting for women over 50, they're not going to be good. They're just going to be books that people have compiled maybe with AI, and they're just putting them up there, and they know people will buy them, and they don't even have to be good if enough people buy them. And these people who are putting up these books are putting up so many books about different topics. So I would be really, really careful. I wouldn't buy any of those books on Amazon, because you, like, I was listening to somebody who was talking about, it was someone who does wildcrafting, which is like when you go out and forage, for example, like how to know what mushrooms are safe to choose, that sort of thing. And they were talking about how people are now generating books on this topic because it's popular using AI. And she actually got one of them and read it, and it had dangerous information in there, like it was wrong. So you cannot trust that those books are going to tell you anything that is true or
Yeah, I think,
correct
when
or
it
even
comes to
safe.
information, Jin, you do have to be careful not to get overloaded, particularly when you begin intermittent fasting, because you could become very confused very quickly about a very simple lifestyle to get into. And there's nothing more simple than the process of one clean fast for a period of time. to eat in a period of time. I like to say I eat what makes me feel my greatest, not what my mind wants. Now, this leads me to my next question. And we've talked about this before, and it really irks me a bit when I hear people say, Jim Stephens told me that I can eat whatever I want. So I open my window with four Krispy Kreme donuts, or I have Five Guys 3 nights a week because Jim Stephens said so. And I know that when you mentioned that you can eat whatever you want, there is a very different interpretation what that actually means. And we've had a lot of you people join these communities since we last spoke. So let's bust this down one more time. Jim, take it away.
It's like they never read past the chapter title. There's a whole chapter in Fast, Feast, Repeat about eat whatever you want, where I really explore it. You can eat whatever you want, but you can't eat whatever you want. And like I go into a lot of detail in that chapter. And then again, I think it's day 6 of 28 Day Fast Start Day by Day, explaining what that means again. And really the concept of eat whatever you want, emphasis you, comes from, again, you know, I talked about how all the intermittent fasting books have such wildly conflicting advice. Literally every book except mine tells you what to eat. You know, whatever book you're reading about intermittent fasting, maybe it was written by someone who believes everyone should be paleo. So they're going to teach you about intermittent fasting and then they have a food plan that's paleo. Or maybe there's somebody who thinks that you should be just low carb in general or keto. So they're going to teach you about intermittent fasting, but then they're going to tell you not to eat potatoes or any carbs. Or maybe, you know, in the case of, you know, Mastering Diabetes, which has got intermittent fasting in it. It's a wonderful book that all about intermittent fasting in there. But they also, whole food plant-based is how they want you to eat. So when you separate all those books out, there's one thing in common. You know, they all want you to eat real food, whether you're paleo or keto or low carb or whole food plant-based, or whether you're just eating, you know, you're an omnivore like me. You know, I'm not going to tell you, you should really be low carb if you're doing this, or you really should be whole food, plant-based, low fat, which is really how my body thrives, even though I don't follow it. I eat all foods, like I said, but you can choose whatever eating style you want. That is my point. And, you know, if you're whole food, plant-based, intermittent fasting is a great approach for you. If you're low carb, intermittent fasting is a great approach for you. If you're currently eating the standard American diet, intermittent fasting is a great approach for you. As time goes on, what you want to eat will probably change. When I started intermittent fasting, I was following the standard American diet. I was also obese. And I did not change what I was eating at first. Over time, though, the foods that I want to eat really did change. And that's the magic of intermittent fasting and allowing that to happen. But even in Delay, Don't Deny, even in that one, if you never read beyond the title, well, Jen's book is called Delay, Don't Deny. I'm going to eat a whole pizza. No, you can have pizza, but you still have to be responsible with how you're feeding your body. And you, even in Delay, Don't Deny, I said, you can have such a luxurious eating window that you will not lose weight and you might even gain weight. And so intermittent fasting is not a free pass. You know, you're fasting and then you're overeating and choosing foods that don't work well for your body. You can't do that. You still have to be responsible within your eating window. And I truly eat the foods that I want to eat. You know, last night I went out to dinner and I had a salad with honey mustard dressing on it. I mean, was that the cleanest dressing in the world? No. I had a little croissant that came with it. It was delicious. I had prime rib. I had a baked potato. I ate until I was satisfied and then I stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't as many veggies as I normally eat. Today, I'm going to have this beautiful grain bowl with, you know, chickpeas and tomatoes and zucchini and lots more veggies. So I am eating whatever I want. But I didn't also go out for ice cream after having that dinner and then go home and have cookies. And, you know, I don't want to do that either because it makes me feel yucky physically.
Yeah, I get it. And I always say, Jen, you know, as I said, I eat what makes me feel my greatest, not what my mind wanted, because eating what my mind wanted got me to 360 pounds, right? And that's the truth of it. But what you said is quite correct, because I think in nearly every person that I've spoken to on the podcast or every person that I've mentored or I've coached with intermittent fasting, they've all gone the same way. They may have started off eating all the things, but they've gravitated towards that higher quality food because they say to themselves, if I'm going to go to the effort of fasting for 18, 20, 22 hours, well, when it comes to my eating window, I want to complement that. And I talk about honoring the fast. So when you come to that eating window, you want to honor the fast that you've just done by making right. that as worthy as you possibly can to get you to your health goals. It doesn't mean you have to be squeaky clean or holier than now every single day, because we're human beings. We're seeking progress, not perfection, right? But I think at the end of the day, I'm really glad you busted that myth down for a lot of people who got the wrong message. But also in the audio clip of that Delay Don't Deny on Amazon, if you actually listen to the Zample audio clip, you really lay it out about what you exactly mean about you can eat whatever.
Do I? I haven't even heard that.
Yeah, I actually listened to it, because if you go and listen to it, you'll hear yourself actually explain about what that actually means. So people obviously sometimes have a listen to that. But yeah, just take note of what Jin says there, and I try to drum that home to people as well. But Jin, I know you've been really great with your time today, but if you wouldn't mind, we just got a couple of questions that have come in from our Patreon community. Some of them big fans of yours. We got Karen in Atlanta, Georgia, and Karen writes here, she's saying, I would really like to get Jin's take on OMAD. It would be interesting, and so many people have that protocol. So how can I do OMAD consistently without my metabolism slowing? I vary my OMAD from 23-1 to 20-4, but I feel best when OMAD is my protocol. I know a lot of you fasters think a shorter window must always be better, but even those of us who are OMAD committed need to shake that up. Windows, what do you say about that, Jin? About your interpretation of OMAD now?
A lot of it depends on your goals, right? If you are someone who is in your goal body, and you feel really good, and you are great at listening to your body, you're not trying to lose any more weight, you're nourishing your body well in your window, you're exactly where you want to be. Let's imagine you do 23-1 most of the time, you know, depending on your schedule, some days more 4-hour window, whatever, you vary it up, but you're happy in your body, you're not trying to lose weight. So let's imagine, worst case scenario, your body adapts to that. Well, that's not a problem, because your body is adapted to a lifestyle that you're enjoying, and you're nourishing your body well, and you're happy. So really, maintenance for every single person is your body adapting to what you're doing, because you don't lose any more weight. We don't just keep losing more and more weight until we disappear into nothingness. We find homeostasis, where what we're doing in our eating window balances with the fast, and we maintain within a range. That's what maintenance is. So if you are happy with your weight and you're happy with what you're doing and it feels sustainable and you're nourishing your body well and your fasts are easy and your feasts are easy, then what you're doing is fine. Now, let's talk about when one meal a day might be too restrictive. Let's imagine that you start off and you gravitate to 23-1, 22-2, you know, something like that. And your windows are 1 to 3 hours every single day, and you're losing weight. You're doing really well. You feel good. And then all of a sudden you hit a plateau and you're just stuck there, but you're not at the weight that you want to be. And then people might think, well, am I even going to need to shrink my window shorter and shorter? Now you're eating in 20 minutes and you still can't lose weight. That's the metabolic adaptation you don't want to have happen. So here's the good news. If you're eating in a really short, tight eating window and you're doing really, really well, and then you plateau and you're not at a weight where your body wants to be, well, the bad news is, yes, your body has adapted to that. But the good news is metabolisms are flexible. And so you may need to be proactive and try some alternate daily fasting for a while. The up day is really great at a metabolic boost. And so you would have the down days. All this is explained in Fast, Feast, Repeat. You would have the down day. And then you would have the up day, which would need to be probably around 8 to 12 hours of eating, which sounds like a lot if you've been settled in a short eating window. So the bottom line is this: your body likes homeostasis. Your body likes to find balance. Like, you have a temperature that your body regulates, you know, within a certain range. Your weight, your body wants to regulate it within a certain range, and bodies will adapt. So it's only a problem if your body has adapted and you're not where you want to be. But there are the tools, and the key is not fasting more and more and more. It's actually the up day is the key, you know, the eating more day to boost that metabolism.
Yeah, well answered, Jin. Thank you for that. Next one, just before you go, Jen, we've got one coming from Ireland. And we've got Melanie from Ireland, and she's asking, I would love to ask, when in a long-term plateau and feels like my body is sitting at its set point, but I want to lose another 20 pounds or 8 kilos, how do I know if I change my eating window and be very strict that my body won't refuse to lose any more weight because she thinks it's starving? I have tried the usual, changing it up, longer windows. I clean fast 100%. I eat a mostly whole foods diet. I do OMAD, usually 22 and 2, and this feels good to me. But this plateau is now over a year, and I'm scared to be stricter in case I lower my metabolic rate. Is this a myth, or should I try ADF? Am I insulin resistant? I lose like 5 pounds and then go back up again, and I feel like I'm living a game of snakes and ladders in real life.
She just explained the exact thing I said already in the previous question.
Exactly.
She has adapted to 22-2. And I know that that 2-hour window feels great. And the answer is not to be more restrictive. No, because that is when your body, when you start over restricting, you know, intermittent fasting is protective in many ways when compared to a typical low calorie diet, many ways that it's more protective than that. But your body will still adapt because your body is trying to protect you. So it sounds to me like her body has adapted to that 2-hour window, and she's just going to have to, I think ADF is her solution. So for everybody who's listening, don't get stuck in that trap. I think the words one meal a day have really done a disservice in the intermittent fasting community because of the way they've been interpreted. If you go back, Graham, when I started the one meal a day intermittent fasting support group in 2015, it was after I was reading Bert Hearing's Fast Five book. And you know, I was in his Facebook group at the time, and I was rereading his book, and you know, he promoted a 5-hour daily eating window. But people were interpreting that in all sorts of ways, like they were trying to eat two really big meals, right, at each end of the 5 hours. Like they would open with a really big meal and then wait and then have another really big meal, and they were struggling with losing weight. And when I reread his book, he said, he was talking about, you know, nourishing your body well or something. And he said, you're only eating one meal, comma, so, dot, dot, dot. And I'm like, wait a minute. Bert Hearing did not intend for people to be having, you know, multiple big meals within this 5-hour window. This is really a one meal a day structure. And he structured his eating window from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m., which is definitely not my preferred timing. I'm more of right now like a 2 to 7 kind of a girl. But, you know, thinking about, okay, our goal is to maybe think of our eating window as a multi-course meal, like one multi-course meal where you start with, you know, your salad course, maybe you have a soup course in there, and maybe you're even grazing a little bit, and then you have an actual dinner later, you know, a sit-down dinner. And it's not restrictive, and you're not just eating one plate of food in 1 hour. That was never the intent. And so when we started the One Meal a Day Facebook group in 2015, you know, it was just me starting it with my friends who were doing fasting and you know, what strategies are going to work. Then people started coming in. And then over time, not in our group, but outside of our group, the concept of one meal a day got out there. But then people started to define it as 23-1 or one plate of food. Or if you're eating within 5 hours, that's not one meal a day. And so the terminology itself, I would encourage everyone at this point, knowing what I know now and how powerful words are, I almost wish we'd never started saying one meal a day, because I think that that makes people think 1 hour window, one plate of food, and then you're more likely to be restrictive. And so, you know, I tend to think of myself as having a hearty snack and then a nice dinner, but my hearty snack might be somebody else's lunch, right? I'm not just eating one, you know, plate of food. And so we do not want to get caught up in, well, Jen says one meal a day is what we should all be trying to do. And then you just accidentally, because of your misconception of what one meal a day should be, you end up overly restrictive. And yeah. I really think it's just those words. Oh, I should only be eating one meal a day. And I'm like, no, somebody else might be a light eater and they might need a 6-hour window to eat enough food to nourish their body well. So that's where we need to find our own sweet spot. We need to make sure we're not over restricting. We need to make sure we don't, you know, get exactly the same day by day. I just naturally don't. And that's just me. I am not one of those people that is going to have the same exact window, eat the same amount every day. I've never have. And so a daily eating window has not ever made me, you know, like stuck like that just because of my natural variation. But if you're someone who does end up in that short, tight window, alternate daily fasting is a really great approach. And if you're someone who's been having a really short window, a 500 calorie down day as part of alternate daily fasting is not going to be a challenge for you. The up day is what's going to be the challenge because you're not used to it. And the scariest part is you might gain a little weight at first when you start eating more. And that is really scary. You're like, oh no, have I ruined my metabolism? No, just keep going and your body will figure it out.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And the other thing I'd say to that, Jen, is people got to be careful not to overfast because often sometimes they hit a hurdle with intermittent fasting when they start. They've got this sort of message now from a lot of people that influence is about alternate day fasting, where they'll think that alternate day fasting is going to cure all their problems. But unfortunately, when they get into it too early, doing a 32 or a 36 hour fast or a 42 hour fast can be a big stretch for someone that's not used to it. I know personally, even after several years of doing this, I couldn't do a 42 hour fast. I'll be quite honest about that. I just know that I would struggle because I'm a person that likes to eat every day. And I'm the same as you. I'm a restaurant style type person. I'll open with a starter, if you like. And I see it like going to a restaurant and sitting down for a meal and then maybe having a dessert, and I close and I do the same thing the next day. So, I mean, one plate a day is there's communities that call OPAD. That's OPAD.
Yeah. I do not endorse that.
Yeah, we don't endorse that. But what we're doing is things like OMAD. And I know when you started that group, that's what made me really interested about intermittent fasting in the first place, was that I knew that I could sort of have a snack and then I could have my meal. And then if I wanted to, I could have something like berries and yogurt because that's the way I was eating then once I got all the sugar and crap and the fast food out of my life, right? So for me, OMAD's been right through my whole journey and I don't have any interest in ADF, only because I'm not saying ADF doesn't work or there's something wrong with it. I don't know enough about it because I don't do it, but I just know that it's not for me. So I think it's important, Jen, that people have to find their own way. I mean, since I've known you, you've basically been a 19-5 person, right?
Ish, yeah. That's pretty much, that just is my body's sweet spot. And, you know, some days a little longer, some days a little shorter. I had an 8-hour window on Saturday because my sister was in town for a bird watching weekend with friends. And I went and they wanted to eat at 11 a.m. Like, because that was when they had time. I'm like, well, okay, I'll eat this brunch with y'all at 11 a.m. because I can do what I want to do. I'm flexible. And so I had an up day that day. And I had another meal later with my son, Will. We went to eat. And so I had a lot of food that day and it was no big deal. But normally I do end up within around an average of about 5 hours. But oh my gosh, Graham, these people, I love them. It's my sister and her friends. They're great people. But they were sitting there and they were eating our 11 o'clock brunch. They had already had breakfast at the hotel too. And I wanted to say, how are y'all eating again? If y'all just had breakfast, you know, this morning. Anyway.
What's next for Jen?
I don't know. You know, we get caught up in that there always has to be something next. And maybe I just want to keep doing this and not anything new. I don't know. I'm part of a health and wellness community that people are always looking ahead to their next projects. And so then I feel like guilty for not having another project. But maybe this will just be the year that I just relax into managing everything I've got with nothing new.
Yeah.
It could happen. I do have an idea for a new book, though. So,
you know, you've contributed so much to the intermittent fasting global community, Jen. There's always going to be a time where you probably think, I'm just going to ride off into the sunset now and let everybody else that's come through. And
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, well,
I'm not riding off anywhere.
I know, but, you know, you think about it, Jen, that, you know, you have also brought through so many people that have gone on to be, you know, creators, influencers, writing books, coaching. You know, there's so many people we could mention here. It's not funny. That must give you an immense sense of pride.
Well, it does. You know, again, that's my job as a teacher. And, you know, when I was teaching children, nothing made me more proud than when, you know, a kid would be going off to college and tell me something about how what they remembered from my third grade classroom helped them on the SAT or something. I mean, things like that. And just knowing that you're still multiplying your effect out there in the world. You know, elementary teachers, we do that as our kids grow up and become adults. But in the work I'm doing with intermittent fasting, same thing. You know, I have taught people about intermittent fasting, and then they take it and go teach other people about it. And that is just really how it goes. You know, it's a real, grassroots effort here, and we are changing the world, Graham, by teaching people about this. And then they teach people about it and they share it with the people that they love. And so, you know, sometimes people say, how did you do all that? How did you get all these people to listen? And to, I'm like, or like I'm in this group, like I said, and they'll be wanting to write a book. And they're like, well, how do you get people to buy your book and read your book? And I'm like, just write a good book that helps people, period. Write a good book that helps people. Put out a podcast that helps people. Give people information that will change their life. And then the message will spread. There's really, you know, you can write a New York Times bestseller, and then after the first month, no one ever buys it again, but it was still a New York Times bestseller. I do not call that a success. The success is, Graham, you know, are people still listening to your podcast years later and being inspired by your story years later and sharing what you've taught them years later? That's how you know you've made a real impact. And so that's what I want to do. You know, and it's not about me. It's about the people who are changing their lives, really.
Yeah. You know what, Jen? I still get people contacting me from when I was on episode 23 of your podcast. Yeah. I mean, how many have you done now? 300 and...
400 and something now.
400? Wow, far out. I know, it goes crazy. To show you.
But people start at number one and listen through. I mean, people, they don't, you know, that even though that those episodes came out in 2018, that's where they start.
I know, I get messages from people, you know, and it's empowering. You know, you talk about how books can change lives and how they can really empower people to take back their health just from what you write about your own story, as you did when you lost the 80 pounds, and I did. And I remember getting this message from this guy in Antarctica, and he was a research scientist, and he said, Graham, I'm sitting in this truck down in Antarctica reading your book. He said, you know, this is the first time in my life where I think I'm going to be able to do something like this. And I had this really weird vision of this little scientist guy sitting in this truck, in an ice truck in Antarctica in the snow. And then straight after that, I got a message from a lady in Kenya that said she was running through the mountains of Kenya and listening to my podcast on your channel. And it was so empowering. It wasn't funny. And I constantly get messages like that all the time. And I know you do as well. And, you know, we don't take them for granted. We really appreciate people's support.
Don't.
But the very last thing I wanted to say to you, Jen, was we got Lynn asked me a question. Lynn's a member of our Patreon community. She said, are you and Jen ever going to do anything together? And my answer to that is yes. What's your answer to that, Jen?
Oh, absolutely. I would collaborate with you anytime, Graham.
Yeah, we got something in the wind.
I love your passion for it. We have the same. You know, spirit of wanting to help people find their own freedom through intermittent fasting. I mean, that's really what it's all about. You know, you and I could make a lot of money if we like start selling fasting water or something. I'm just making up something.
Okay,
ridiculous.
When are
all
we starting?
Water,
that sounds
all water
like a great
is fasting
idea.
Water.
The Gragian, right? The Gragian water. Let's get it going.
Fasting water. Let's we could make millions of dollars, Graham, selling fasting water, but we're not gonna do that because that would be ridiculous. But you know, we're in it, but. Because yes, we would like to, you know, have this be our profession, but we also really do want to help people change their lives.
Yeah, look, that's important too. You never lose sight of that fact that the burning passion is to help people and motivate people to take back their health and you know, pass on. If I ever leave a legacy in life, then that's the legacy I want to leave. I mean, I work in a day job. I actually have two jobs as a day job, and you know, I'm probably not as passionate about them as what I am helping people with intermittent fasting. So I hope one day to be able to do that. And with the support that we're getting, it's helping me do that. But Jen, we are going to do something, and stay tuned, folks. Yeah. We'll have some information about that coming out once we know all the details. But it's going to be exciting. It's going to be great. And stay tuned. But Jen, thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
Well, I've so enjoyed it. And I was, of course, kidding about the fasting water. And also, everybody, if anyone ever tries to sell you fasting water, do not buy it.
No, and don't buy any fasting salts. You know, a guy tried to get me to sponsor the podcast that sells fasting gummy bears that apparently you can.
Oh, my Lord, have mercy. What in the world?
You can eat fasting gummy bears while you're fasting. Oh, and the other one was a guy sent me an email saying that he wanted to sponsor the podcast that sells a pill that mimics fasting.
Oh yeah, I think that same guy reached out to me. I'm like, no, I'm not. Forget it. No,
I know.
Like,
There's some crazy
It is
stuff.
crazy. Yeah, I
Anyway,
get all
Jim,
those emails
we'll
too.
catch up soon and we'll let everybody know what's really exciting happening. And I'm excited about it. I know you are, but once we get the details, we can get it out. But as I say, Jim, it's been a pleasure once again.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Oh, thanks, Jen. Fantastic. Always great to talk to you, my friend. And thank you for giving up your valuable time and coming to chat to us about all things intermittent fasting. And good luck with your new book. And I can't wait to see what you do in the future with your books. Okay, folks, as heard at the top of the podcast here, this podcast is brought to you by our Patreon community, without whom we wouldn't be able to obviously bring this to you each and every week. So if you are out there listening, you're looking to get some extra accountability for your intermittent fasting lifestyle, or just to stay plugged into a like-minded tribe, the Patreon community is absolutely fantastic for that. The twice-monthly Zoom meetings have become very popular with members. They can come in there and share about their intermittent fasting. They're hosted by me. You can come and ask questions. Everybody gets a chance to talk about where they're up to with their fasting in those Zoom meetings, and so they're great. There's also things like bonus content, bonus podcasts, discussion topics, a recorded audio series on various topics regarding intermittent fasting, including breaking free from sugar and much, much more. Okay, you can find that link in the show notes there at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. But I really hope that you would give it strong consideration, because it certainly is something that I'm seeing is helping with people's intermittent fasting journeys. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.